broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Hard-hitting news that efforts refuse to use nut out continues now. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a road to hoe to restore the republic and the traditions of our founding fathers, but we're getting it done. This is the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, for March 24th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour 2 of 2 in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio. We don't believe in revolution, but restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth is the answer. Good people getting involved, no doubt, with the checks and balances, can restore the republic. You know what? We're different than any other country, folks. We don't need a revolution. We even have the founder's blueprint. They never had that. We do, thank heavens. A lot of good stuff going on, folks. But we got to have you involved with us as well. One of our listeners emailed me and said, Sam, we got a murder in Idaho that no one's following up on. What gives? What's up with that? It's just as important as the Finicum case. And why aren't you on it, Sam? And I responded and said, because we just don't have the resources. But believe it or not, I wrote down his note as a constant reminder to keep working on that story. Because the listener's absolutely correct. So we got that done, Kurt. We've been following up on it. We reached out to one of our friends, fellow talk show hosts, authors, etc., by the name of Will Grigg. He lives in Idaho, and he's following up on this story for us. He wrote two pieces about it back in November. And we emailed Will Grigg, and he basically said, hey, the investigation was finished months ago, but in other words, but the thugs are just going to cover it up. We're watching for the results now. And just so you know, we will do our best to get to the bottom of this. But it takes our greater numbers. It takes all of us. Even with the help from this listener. And even with the help from Will Grigg, we just don't have enough hands. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough resources to follow up on this stuff. We're literally doing our very best. Okay? So that's important to understand. All right? But anyway, I digress. I just want to tell you that we are following up on this story. This is a critical story. Last hour, I said we're going to try to get the people with Lavoie Finicum together with this murder of Yantas, and we're gonna get these families together because they're working on solutions. So that's the scoop, Kurt. Anyway, Kurt, Will Grigg wrote two stories on this back in November. He's getting ready to write more as soon as he can get the rest of the story. But Will says, back in November, I did two pieces about the murder. No other word can describe this. Anyway, the second story talks about justice. And this is really where the listener was going and where Will Grigg already is, Kurt. Do you want to add to that here?
It's a great point, Sam. And one of the things that I noticed was the final paragraph of the first article as well, where it says...
Uh-oh, we lost Kurt.
I had a sneeze, so I had to push the mute button.
All right, good for you.
But anyway, where it's...
Bless you,
says
sir.
Thank you. Where it says, the death of Jack Yantas may have been the product of tragic miscalculation, misunderstanding, mishap, or culpable malice. Now that the investigation is in the hands of a, quote, criminal enterprise, end quote, with a documented history of suppressing and misrepresenting evidence, it is doubtful that the public will ever learn the unadorned truth of the matter. Yeah, that's too bad, but it's, you know, the way things are most of the time, at least in my opinion. When you have a government agency investigating itself and then a fellow government agency that, you know, I don't really think you can count on really get to the bottom of things. But in this second article, it's called... let's see, getting to the top of it. Justice for Jack Yantas. Don't leave the investigation to the professionals. And what, you know, at least from my estimation, the bottom line that you can read, you've got to look at the whole thing here. There's a lot of detail here. Will Grigg is very good at that. But what happens is I think anyone would say that, hey, if you want a real investigation, whether it's the Lavoie-Finicum thing or this, you've got to have outside people doing that investigation. For example, I remember when we had Sheriff Mack and Sheriff David A. Clark on about the Lavoie-Finicum situation. They just said, hey, we don't have enough detail and we need to do an investigation. I think that would be a great role for the CSPOA, that kind of thing could happen. But until it does, you're still going to have a lot of people who say, hey, this really isn't an investigation when you investigate yourself. It's kind of like in school, Sam. If you had the teacher had been accused of being mean to the students, and then the teacher investigated himself. It's just not the way it would be done. But anyway, he goes into a number of stories, number of pieces, where the Idaho State Police have they've got assets or the ability to really go into an investigation big time. It talks about one where a grizzly bear was part of the story, and how the individual really went after the case and all that kind of stuff, whereas a story about Mr. Yentis, they just don't, they're not able to get around to it. It takes a long time, and you see these long delays and these you're gonna have to wait for a while longer, all that kind of stuff. And that's what we see so many times, whether it's the Finicum situation or this. He has great way with words. For example, I'll read you parts of it down in here where he posts about it. He says, neither of those offenses, talking about these ones where the Idaho State Police went after and were really involved in some other things, he says, involved actual crimes of violence against human beings, but neither of those suspects were swaddled in the habiliments of the state's punitive priesthood or invested with qualified immunity. And besides, Jack Yantis was no stranger to the police, as the Washington Post arcly observed, taking note of an inconsequential record that included a traffic infraction, two DUIs, and a charge of resisting and obstructing, the last of which should have earned him a commendation rather than a citation, Will says. The Post and other state-centric media outlets continue to insinuate that Yantis was in some sense responsible for his own death. This is true only to the extent that if Yantis hadn't cooperated with a request to help the overmatched deputies deal with the wounded bull, which underscores the wisdom of avoiding any contact whatsoever with the state's privileged purveyors of sanctified violence. That's just an example of...
So here's the deal. I gathered up after this listener emails me and gives me this reminder tip on this story, because we knew about the story. It's just, again, it's hard to follow up on everything. It's time, it's resources, it's everything. But I then made notes when the listener emailed me about it, and I explained it was a resource problem. We just don't have enough resources, time, and money to follow up on this stuff. That's the only reason we haven't covered it. But I took it to heart. And so we write back, and I say, hi, listener. We have taken your reminder on this story to heart. We are now following up with this with our reporter in Idaho, Will Grigg. We talked about this on air at the end of the first hour and the start of the second hour today. And then I quote the two articles, Open Range, Open Season, The Killing of Jack, written by Will Grigg, Justice for Jack Yantis, Don't Leave, Will Grigg. And then I say, Will says, and then I tell about Sam back in November, I talked about this or wrote about this. And I say, he wrote two articles back in November, see here, and I give the links to the listener. And then I say, I asked for an update since. He responded, The investigation was finished months ago. They're going to try to basically justify their actions and claim that the gentleman was drunk. And I then say we will do our best to keep on it. Thanks, Sam. I'm pressing send right now. But you know what it says? It says, Sam, don't send it, buddy. You didn't even put a subject in there. Thank you. Good work. A
little more on the...
Let me decide what should I put then.
Well, probably...
We've taken your reminder on this story to heart. How's that?
That's a good subject. Something like that.
Got that. We have taken your reminder on this story to heart. We are now following up on it with our reporter in Idaho named Will Grigg. All right, I'm going to press send. And the listener has that now, Kurt.
Very good.
When we get back, we'll let you continue. Of course, on Liberty Roundtable, live.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the murder of Jack Yantas. Will Grigg wrote the articles. Will Grigg's got the update. He's keeping an eye on this story for us. Thanks for our listener bringing it back to our attention, helping keep our eye focused on the ball. Kurt's got the final wrap-up details on this for now, but we'll try to keep up on this story, Kurt.
Yeah, and this in my opinion, it hones straight in on the main problem. He says media coverage of the Yantas killing predictably is freighted with intimations of potential violence against Sheriff Zolman and other officials from the rural anti-government extremists who populate Adams County. Sheriff Zolman, who seems like an earnest and decent man, reports that his family has received death threats and he has refused to disclose the names of the deputies who killed Yantis in order to spare them similar treatment. This wouldn't be a problem if the deputies had been charged with a criminal offense and taken into custody, or even released on bail once charges had been filed. Threats of the kind Zolman allegedly received are precipitated by frustration over the privileged status of law enforcement officers implicated in wrongful deaths or other acts of criminal violence. Any evidence that Yantis assaulted or threatened the deputies would have been provided to the public within hours of the incident. If two Adams County citizens had shot and killed a sheriff's deputy, they would have been incarcerated without bail and their names would have been known.
Well, and that's the exact point, Curtis. Yeah. People just don't feel like there's justice in America. They feel like it's an absolute railroad job. And Trump's tapping into that. That's why he's so popular, too.
And it, you know, it,
people are
it's
done with
the
this.
Same way from the president, whether it's Bill Clinton and Hillary, all the way down to, you know, even in the sheriff's departments. You know, we saw it with the Burns County situation as well as this. And then you see, you know, what many perceive as unlawful acts by those in command, and you know, and yet there's no real justice. That's one of the reasons we work hard with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association to promote and make things right when it comes to this. There are good, peace officers out there, and we like to highlight them and bring them to the forefront.
Right? Amen to that. All right, our guy's been updating LibertyNewsDaily.com stories as we speak, and one of them says this, Kurt. Trump, quote, Muslims are not cooperating with terrorism investigations. That's a serious problem. But again, why is Trump the only one talking about this? Now, here's the deal. The Muslims in America are scared right now because they believe there's going to be repercussions or kind of blowback, etc. We need to be wise people, and we need to be very careful. We need to realize that we don't believe, Kurt, that we're responsible for Adam's transgression. We're responsible for our own sins. And I know somebody would say, duh, Sam, of course, you know, that's obvious. Well, it's not so obvious. Because it seems to me that people should be able to stand on their own. We don't want to hold Muslims responsible who live in America, who may be just as American as we are, for the acts of evil. And I know some would say, well, their scriptures teach them to be that way. They're all like that, Sam. I don't agree with that at all. Okay, you cannot make these blanket statements like that. And you know what? How do we get a balance here? How do we treat them like Americans and respect them? We shouldn't have been abusive to the Japanese back in World War II either. How do you find out who is a refugee, who is a terrorist, who is a good, honest American, who is a terrorist? How do you know who's who? And most oftentimes when fear takes over, we get in real trouble. So the first thing I would do, in my opinion, is work on this. How do you know the difference? And how do you hold people accountable for their actions and not create these broad groups of mobocracy that attack people? How do we deal with that, Kurt? It's an important issue to understand.
Well, it is a very good question, Sam. And, you know, at least the thing that, you know, you've highlighted today with the, you know, basically the introduction to our audience of the new LibertyNewsDaily.com site and all these different things, and the fact that some folks are coming to bat when it comes to funding. You know, there are solutions. I mean, just like the CSPOA events that we've been to, we've maybe never felt more patriotic and more solutions-oriented than being there. And yet, you know, of course, there weren't millions of people there like we'd hope. But, you know, we move forward and do the best we can with where we find ourselves, right?
Yes. And we need to be very careful in how we do this. I get people are frustrated.
Yes.
And I agree when Muslims need to cooperate with terror investigations, for sure. At the same time, you know what, Kurt? You don't want to blame innocent people, but at the same time, what do? Headline, yeah. Brussels bombers, Kurt.
Well, right, Sam. It looks like, at least there's more detail. They say they plan to attack nuclear power stations. And the reason I brought this story up, because there's a whole lot of stuff about this whole deal, but, you know, this is related, at least to me, to the whole solar discussion, et cetera, and this idea that, you know, if you're off the grid, if you will, even if they do take down, you know, these big grid kind of connected deals, then your family could still have the power that it needs, whether it's solar or wind or whatever. And yet, I don't see anybody really making those connections, you know. They apparently had 12 hours of footage that the jihadists had filmed outside a plant director's home. That's the director for the nuclear power station. Investigators found 12 hours of this footage in Brussels. It included a film of the Belgian nuclear power chief's home in Flanders. The ISIS terrorists are believed to have wanted to kidnap him to gain entry. It's now emerged the creators of the footage were the Bakrine brothers. I guess that's the name of the guys. The footage was seized following the Paris attacks. You know, these people are kind of serious, and at least when it comes to the whole attacks and that kind of thing. And yet, the other thing that they're not going to bring up in the media, Sam, is the fact that many of these are in retaliation, in my opinion, to our bombings and our different things that we do on their citizens. Now, I'm not suggesting that that means it's right. You know, it's not the old eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth thing, but that's what you see many times in these situations. These people are fighting back because of, you know, our bombings and the different things that we do, whether it's the U.S. or, you know, our NATO friends, etc. We've got to get out of the whole war business, if you will, and protect our countries from invasion, but not be on the offensive, you know, all the time. That's what I see anyway here.
All right, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, they're in Minneapolis now, Kurt?
Well, yeah, one of these stories from the Liberty News Daily that you can find, the headline reads, Minneapolis Airport Fires TSA. Now, all I can say is, if that were really true, that'd be great, but they are considering it in the Minneapolis Airport. They've got huge amounts of, I guess you'd call them... You know, upset folks saying that now they're considering hiring a private security company and getting rid of the TSA.
I pray it's true. Our buddy Becky Akers will be happy about that story for sure.
Yes, he will.
Liberty Roundtable.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. On the day following three coordinated terrorist bombings in Brussels that left dozens dead and hundreds injured, Donald Trump told ITV News of Britain that Muslims are not doing enough to help investigators identify potential terrorists in their midst. I would say this to the Muslims. When they see trouble, they have to report it, Trump insisted in an interview with Piers Morgan, directing that admonition at Muslims both in Europe and in the United States. They're not reporting it, they're absolutely not reporting it, and that's a big problem, he continued. It's like they are protecting each other, but they are really doing very bad damage. They have to open up to society. They have to report the bad ones. A two-year academic study published in 2010 by Duke's Sanford School of Public Policy and the University of North Carolina concluded that most American mosques have actually helped deter the spread of militant Islam and have actively cooperated with counterterrorism efforts. Last November, former Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert pleaded guilty to violations of banking law in making payments of $3.5 million to purchase the silence of a man whom he had allegedly molested as a wrestling coach decades ago. The recipient of those payments was identified in court papers as Individual A. In Hastert's forthcoming sentencing hearing, another alleged victim, referred to in transcripts as Individual D, may testify. The surprise witness may be Jolene Burge of Billings, Montana, whose brother, Stephen Reinbolt, died in 1995. Reinbolt reportedly told her sister that Hastert enticed him into a homosexual relationship while teaching at Yorkville High School in Illinois. Facing determined resistance from Apple and the prospect of a lengthy court battle, the FBI may have turned to an Israeli digital forensics company to overcome iPhone's encryption. Cellebrite, which has provided the FBI with decryption technology since 2013, may be the third party described in an FBI court filing on Monday, saying that it may not be necessary to force Apple to surrender its encryption key. Cellebrite, regarded as one of the leading companies in the world in the field of digital forensics, works with many of the world's biggest intelligence, defense, and law enforcement agencies. Nicholas Jackson may have obtained a certain form of immortality as the embodiment of both welfare fraud and monumental criminal stupidity. The 36-year-old Pompano Beach, Florida man walked into a BMW dealership and attempted to buy a $60,000 car using a credit card and an EBT card, that is, a reloadable debit card used for welfare transfer payments. After being turned down, Jackson allegedly returned the next night and stole the coveted BMW, along with keys for 60 other vehicles on the lot. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, this is the weirdest story on the planet, man. I guess an Australian woman marries the sperm donor father of her child. Yeah, she said she only knew about his profile. He was healthy. He was a football-playing farmer and had four children. And I guess she checked a box on the form when she received the sperm donation. The day he was willing to be contacted about the baby. Believe it or not, the pair met, fell in love, were engaged for 2 years. We managed to keep it quiet. It was a private day, and it was just beautiful. There was a lot of love in the room for us. People were happy to see us, so happy. Yeah. Kind of a weird story, Kurt.
Yeah, I saw it, Sam. You know, Will didn't cover that yet. The lady described her so-called back-to-front romance as far-fetched. Like she says, she married this Scott Anderson guy. He's a cattle farmer, whom she met after the birth of their baby. And they did it all in a quiet service near Melbourne. The pair made global headlines when their relationship emerged 2 years ago after they were profiled on an Australian television program. What happened to Scott and I is such a random thing. As she warned, she wouldn't ever advocate the in vitro fertilization as a dating service. Anyway, I guess at least, you know, the nice thing is they're married and they have a child. And, that's good stuff, right, Sam?
It's very, very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a very weird, to say the least, story, yes, if you ask someone like me. Now, Kurt, we talked about this anti-Muslim backlash in America, in American cities, which I say is wrong. Trump says Muslims are not cooperating with terrorism investigations, which that's a problem, too. Brussels bombers did plan to attack nuclear power stations. They got footage and proof, they claim. Well, yeah. That's wrong, too.
Oh.
Right?
They didn't really plan to attack?
Well, that's wrong in terms of planning to attack. Or you shouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah. That's
Don't you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
I'm just thinking it's wrong.
The story was wrong, yeah.
Well, the story may be wrong, too. I don't know that. I'm just going to take it on its face value unless we have evidence to the contrary.
Well, it's nevertheless, a story from across the pond, so I figured it, you know, probably is not all tricked out or whatever.
I mean, it's probably more likely to be accurate, yeah, sad to say. But it's a serious discussion point, and I say it's wrong for them to plan this attack, okay? But listener TZ emails in. He says, hey, man, how do you hold a suicide bomber accountable?
Yeah, good point.
Well, it's a little bit like when did you quit beating your wife? Or what I mean is, there's not a good answer to that question, right?
Well, and the other thing,
what he really means is,
well, what he means is, you know, when the bomb goes off, there's
nobody left. There. I get it. Yeah. That's kind of like the chicken and the egg, though. There's not a good answer, right?
All right.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think that you hold that person accountable. Then you could come back, and TZ's got a point where he says, you know what, we got to hold those people who trained, who educated, who infiltrated, who all the above got this person to that point in the first place to believe in such radicalized ideas to do such a thing. And my response is, how do you hold a nation accountable for its actions? You know what? We've killed 50-plus million babies in America since Roe versus Wade. And God says nations are judged relatively immediately rather than later at the judgment bar of Christ like people will be. And so I don't know that you can hold the dead person accountable. He's got a valuable point. At the same time, his point is we need to focus on how did this person get there, get trained and become a suicide bomber in the first place? How do they get such radicalized views and get brought to the brink and trained and set up and ready to go to get all that done? It's a great question. And we certainly need to have accountability. But we also need to have accountability related to one's actions, not one's thoughts or opinions or beliefs. And there's a big line there. We also can't go too preemptive on this, because at some point you become the thought police. You become the worse than the criminals. Look, there's a price to pay for freedom, people. And I'm not suggesting we just let these people run around and harm us. But what I am suggesting is there are lines that you don't cross. For example, the United States now believes that torture and abuse is the answer to get information they need to stop terrorist cells, etc. I say going to the moral low ground, losing the moral high ground, is not the answer. And the same thing is true here. I think the best way to fight, in my personal opinion, evil, and whether you become a suicide bomber, whether you become a trainee of a suicide bomber, whether you just become a bureaucrat working for government that wants power and gain, my answer to all of that is we got to promote morality. We've got to promote following the Prince of Peace, God, family, and country. We've got to promote the protection of life, liberty, and property, the principles embodied by our founding fathers in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. We've got to follow biblical guidelines. And the more we preach of Christ, teach of Christ, and follow Christ and become self-governed as individuals, the more we raise our families and teach them to do the same, you know what? It's a love versus hate fight, people. It's a God versus Satan battle. Y'all are in the middle, and so am I. It's up to us to lead by example, to lead with kindness. And I know that doesn't seem like, well, man, Sam, you got to get hardcore in the face of evil. You got to fight evil with, I understand, but a soft answer turneth away wrath. Teaching people to love and live Christ-like, self-governed lives is going to do way more than the sword, people. So I would answer TZ's question that way. That's just me. St. Louis Rams are in the news, Kurt.
Yep, good point, Sam. You remember this story a while back where the, I guess he's the first openly homosexual player in the NFL. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir, of course. Michael Sims.
Yeah.
The guy with two first names.
Good point.
And I'm chagrined to know that he has the name Sams, but anyway.
Yeah, there you go. I guess they had made some kind of a deal you know, to avoid being featured on an HBO TV series, the NFL's Rams did, and they said, hey, they'd draft him if they would not feature him there. And it kind of goes to the whole, I guess it wouldn't put the Rams in a, you know, very good light in the story. And so a longtime NFL reporter has revealed the NFL agreed to a deal where the LA Rams, by the way, then they were in St. Louis, didn't have to do HBO's Hard Knocks series in 2014 if they drafted Michael Sam. Sources say the NFL agreed not to have Rams on Hard Knocks in 2014 if they drafted Michael Sam, Howard Balser tweeted. But it kind of goes to the whole thing about the power of the media. And he who owns the media makes the rules. And in this case, they acquiesced their story and, you know, didn't put it on.
Was it really a goal to promote the gay and lesbian agenda? Is that kind of the...
Well, that's what I would have expected. But, you know, the bottom line is they held the story and didn't really go with it. Even HBO is, you know, maybe not perfect, if you will. And yet, you know, now you're finding out more of the story behind the story.
Now, why would the NFL agree to a deal?
Well, you know, I mean, what you've got, Sam, is the homosexual crowd is a very powerful group. Even though they're very small, in my opinion, they have their minions, if you will, in a lot of places, and they do their stuff. I mean, they've got big-time media people that are supporters of theirs and others, and it's impressive what they've done. And we can learn, when I say impressive, I just mean with the size of their group, what they've done to get their way, if you will. You know,
speaking of
the rest of us, did
speaking of that big lobby and being hard to fight against it because they're so powerful. You know what? I agree they're powerful, but I agree we also need to stand up for the morals that we believe in, Kurt. And some people are doing just that in North Carolina. Headline: North Carolina legislators in a quote special session on Wednesday passed a wide-ranging bill barring transgender people from bathrooms. Ooh. And locker rooms that do not match the gender on their birth certificate.
They're going to be having troubles down there in North Carolina.
We'll tell you about it. Take your calls, Patty, up next at 866-986-NEWS. That's 866-986-6397. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I'm going to press rewind a little bit earlier in the show, and our listener TZ said, how do you hold a suicide bomber accountable? And I talked about those who train them, and the climate and society that we live in has a lot to do with it. We need to follow the Prince of Peace and teach and live by example. He right back and said, we can live free or die. The terrorists wish to cause terror. Our response should be that we are willing to continue living free without the TSA. Without the NSA looking at everything, without the out-of-control government who can't protect us anyway. Gun control is only one form of liberty control. If we refuse to be terrorized, there'd be no terror. No terrorism. And I agree with that. Good work, TZ. Now, I'm talking about a story also where in North Carolina, they rejected this same-sex transgender bathroom fiasco. I'm not really sure what to call it. But this transgender idea where people want to go in the wrong bathrooms, and some states have backed that agenda. I guess it's North Carolina says, uh-uh. North Carolina legislators in a special session passed a wide-ranging bill barring transgender people from bathrooms and locker rooms from going into the opposite from their birth certificate, if you will. The Republicans loved it and backed it big time. The Democrats ran out in horror. Said, we can't support this. This is crazy. America, we have a battle for the heart and soul for America. It's going on right now. And you need to be involved in this battle. And you need to be peaceful. You need to be polite. But you need to be insistent and set an example. Patty, Utah, you're on the radio.
Hey, good morning, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby. I love you guys. I want to thank you for trying to educate the masses, and you're doing a great job.
Man, it's a road to hoe, I'll tell you what.
I was listening to the email that you got from TZ, and, you know, we cannot hold all Muslims accountable. We've got wonderful spiritual brothers and sisters right here in the state of Utah. I know a few of them that come into the restaurants, and they keep saying, you know, this is not us, this is not us.
Well, and they're right. Patty.
Yeah, unless I'm duped. I mean, it's not. I can tell. They are 100% right. But I'm going to tell you what, Sam, don't get offended, but Tuesday night I was driving home, and of course, with everything with the caucuses, I switched your radio station off. Ooh, ouch, because I keep it on about 96% of the time.
Never
but
do that.
I wanted to hear what was going on here locally in our backyard here. And you know, I heard, and it was a replay because you could tell that it was earlier, but Orrin Hatch, Senator Orrin Hatch, I almost could have gotten into a car accident. I heard Orrin Hatch say, quote, what happened in Brussels is why America needs the NSA. I could not believe it. I wanted to hit my radio and put rewind to see if I really heard him correctly. I was appalled at that statement. We here in America do not need the NSA. We do not want the NSA. Please, Orrin Hatch, do not violate my Fourth Amendment. you are not fit right now to be the senator, and I am just, like, so upset over that. I really could not believe that I heard that, and it was on a local channel here in Utah.
Well, you're right, as Ray, and the answer to defend America, ladies and gentlemen, lies in the Second Amendment, which is a well-regulated militia. That is one of the great answers. The other answer is to use our troops and our capabilities to defend our borders and avoid foreign entanglements. That's the most prudent solution we could have. Now, Ron Paul has been criticized for his foreign policy. I agree with it 100%. Believe it or not, Ron Paul's and George Washington's, one of the greatest generals the world has ever known's foreign policy, were virtually the same, which is, let's have a non-interventionalist foreign policy. And that's not isolation. Isolation says don't work with anybody. We want to reach out and trade and be friends, and we want to diplomatically work through things, not through force work through things. And so the non-interventionalist idea just says we avoid foreign entanglements like the plague. We reward those who are following principles of liberty. We use our economics to make a difference, and we peacefully work with people, and we reach out to the world and lead by example by a nation following the Prince of Peace, Patty.
Right. So, Sam, let me just give you this really brief event that happened in my life. My son was heading off to Afghanistan in 2013. And, of course, you know, I am a person who seems to always be running behind the eight ball a little bit. I ended up picking him up about 10 minutes late. And we booked it to the Salt Lake Airport. I let him get out first, and I had to go park my car. I got inside. I went up to the counter. I had papers that were saying that my son was, you know, going. I was an Army mom, and all I had were my keys, my papers, and my driver's license. The woman at the counter was wonderful. She actually walked me over to the security area. She said my son was able to go right through, and he's at the gate. When I got in line, of course, I might have seemed very nervous. I was. My baby boy's going off to Afghanistan, and I was in a hurry because I was running late. I couldn't believe when the TSA person came over and took my arm and took me out of the line and brought me over into this other area where I had to walk through this machine with my hand, stand in this machine with my hands up. And
yeah, it's the get naked machine, Patty.
My belt and my shoes were all ready, and my keys and papers in this gray bin over in this other section. When I got out of that, whatever machine it was, the guy said to me, "We need to wait 1 minute. We need a female TSA." And I was like, "For what?" He goes, "We need to do a pat down." I go, "Are you serious?" I told him, I said, "My son is at a gate. They're going to be leaving. He's going to Afghanistan. I need to catch up with them." He said, "Okay, okay. Sam, I waited there. I don't know how many minutes. I was ready to take off and run, shoes off and everything."
Don't do it. They'll tase you.
To that gate. I know. I know. So listen, you know what? I left and got to that gate. I didn't go get my belt, my keys, or my shoes. I left them in the bin. Then I got to that gate. My son was already on the plane, and the plane was backing away. I missed giving my son his last hug. I got on my knees on that floor and bawled my head off. I could not believe it. I texted him and I said, "I love you, I love you. Please feel my arms around you. Here's a hug." And I left there thinking, if anything ever happened to him, what would I do? Because I said to him, "I'll catch up with you at the gate." Now, the TSA, they did not have a reason to pinpoint me out. They didn't have a reason to do this. And I know a lot of people are saying, "Well, you know, it doesn't bother me. I have to get to the airport an hour later," and things like this. You know what? No, we don't need to have to put ourselves through these things.
You're right about that. Let me give you a headline to make your point, and then I got to let you fly. There's a couple of quick stories we got to finish before the end of the hour. The headline says this. It's kind of an interesting headline, by the way. An Israeli security expert chimes in on your point and says this. If you want to uncover bombers at airports, stop focusing on grandmas.
Yeah.
Right as rain point, and your point's well taken. We've got a problem in America where they think we're the criminals. Thanks, Patty.
Hey, Sam, I love you. I love you. Thank you. Have a great day. Kurt Crosby, thank you. Love you.
All right, there
good
you go.
Work. Yeah.
She likes Liberty Roundtable, I think, Kurt.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, if you are hungry and you want to eat some good food, go by the State Street Grill, and Patty will take good care of you and Greg as well.
Hey, do you know who Tim McGraw is, Kurt?
I think he's a musician.
Yeah, he's a country artist. He's the Live Like You're Dying guy.
Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Country star Tim McGraw is going to headline at the 4th of July celebration called Stadium of Fire in Utah.
Yeah.
You going to go see Tim, Kurt?
I typically will be watching him from far, far away.
Why?
You know, those big events like that, I really appreciate from quite a distance. I enjoy being there in that fashion, if you will. Yeah.
Ah, Kurt.
But we welcome him to come to the state of Utah. It's what most folks believe is a way to celebrate patriotism, you know, the 4th of July, going to a concert and that kind of thing. But we suggest that people do that as well as participate in patriotism on a daily basis, right, Sam?
Yeah, it shouldn't just be a blow-em-up, you know, 4th of July. When is the 4th of July this year? Is it on a Monday, Kurt?
It's the day after the 3rd.
I think it was supposed to be on Sunday, Kurt, but I think because of leap year, it jacked it all down and made it skip a day.
Oh, really?
Okay. That's frustrating, but the 4th of July is my birthday, people.
Yes.
I like my birthday on Sunday, personally.
Yes, you do.
Well, it's because Monday, Sunday is a day of rest, typically, and I get to spend a lot more time with my family than normal. I don't have work obligations, and I get to go to church and worship Jesus Christ, and I get to... You know, I get a partake of the sacrament, which means, you know, the emblems that help me remember Jesus Christ. And I get to spend time with like-minded folks and study about the Prince of Peace and learn to do my best to be like him. And it's just phenomenal. And I like that personally. I know you shouldn't be allowed to do that and stuff. I get it. But I do. And I like it. And so I feel like I got gypped on my birthday this year. It's a ripoff, you know. Thanks to leap year. They'll probably put daylight savings times on my birthday, too, just to make it worse, huh? All right, just teasing. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Did you hear about the Apple iPhone? They're going to roll out a smaller one, a 4-inch dude called SE, which stands for Small Experience, Kurt.
Oh, very good.
Kurt needs to upgrade his phone now to that one.
Yeah, to the small one?
Yeah.
I'm kind of more for going big.
No way, the small ones are awesome.
Big words so that I can see them.
All right, well, you can just turn on the voiceover and do it blind, Kurt.
Good point.
If you like. Yeah. I wouldn't consider that an opportunity, necessarily. All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride. Hard-hitting news the network refuses to use, always on your favorite station. Check out our new website, libertynewsdaily.com, libertynewsradio.com, and thank republicbroadcasting.org, would you please, as well. This nation shall endure.